This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's go!
What's up, Bingetown TV people? It's officially October, and we're back with another freaky, scary, spooky episode covering Haunting of Hill House. This is Kathleen. We've got Luke, Jimmy, and Paul breaking down episode 6, titled Two Storms, and episode 7, titled Eulogy. We are heating up here, people. Last week, we were supposed to cover 6, but we didn't, to give 5. Let it breathe a little bit, because 5 is one of our favorite episodes. So now we're in 6 and 7. Boys, what do we think? Newcomer boys?
Dude, it's just insanely well written, insanely well directed. I mean, Two Storms, this is going to be one of the first things I think of whenever I think of the show is this episode because of how well it was directed. I mean, it was
crazy. Episode 6 was dope. It was the haunting of the rotating camera because every single freaking scene is just a continuation of the camera just going back and forth. If you ever watch anything behind the scenes for this show, you need to look into what happens in 100%. The Two Storms, because it's insane what the crew did, and it's amazing what the actors were able to accomplish because they just worked so well together to make, what was it, 5 takes?
So it's it's a 55-minute episode broken down into 5 shots between the funeral home and the storm at Hill House in the past. Funeral home in the present, Hill House in the past. It's fucking incredible. Mike Flanagan directed every episode in this season, and I want to talk about. So that was an incredible feat. Like, if I was a director, this is something that I would try to attempt to do. It's like, if you're going to direct, especially if you're directing all 10, I think these two are so completely different. And I loved that in 7, the transitions were so dope, which is hard to do when you're going like from past to present. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember watching this scene, and I'm not really good at picking up on directorial like cues and being like, well, it was amazing, unless it's like blatantly amazing. Mm-hmm. But I remember just knowing and feeling how fucking epic this was, and how these scenes are just so perfectly choreographed and drawn out. And like Luke said, the behind the scenes is incredible. And I also read an article where Mike Flanagan said, like, prior, that his biggest, like, in the beginning, he thought his biggest worry was going to be that the kids were going to maybe screw it up or not know their lines or whatever. And he was like, not only did they not, they knew all the adults' lines as well. Like, they came in fucking professionals, like, killing it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Kathleen, you were the one who told me after my first watch through of this episode in the season that all about behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because of that or what, but I think this is my favorite episode of the entire season. And I know Luke said episode 5 was your favorite so far, and I really do like episode 5, but I don't know. This episode just does it big for me.
Yeah, it really does. The longest scene, just for everyone's reference, is 17 minutes long. That means while they were shooting, if they got to the 16th minute and somebody flubbed something, you start over. And the behind the scenes is incredible. Like, Paul will call something out. There's a scene where they pan across a hallway and there's statues and they're looking one way. And then they go into a room and they come back and the statues are then looking the other way, meaning that the minute the camera pans, these people are just fucking sprinting, mm-hmm. turning these statues around. I didn't even notice that until Paul pointed out that the statues turned their head. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
The fact that they made 2 separate, almost identical statues, except one's head is tilted one way, just for a behind-the-scenes pickup.
It's the little details, man. That's what separates the good shows from the great shows.
They said they literally constructed the set for this episode. Like, with this episode in mind, before even episode 1, they constructed the 2 houses.
Just how the house is set up, mm-hmm. like how the mom would have to be transitioning through the
incredible.
Different rooms. That's amazing.
There's just so much going on for it to be in one shot for certain
insane.
Scenes. It is unbelievable. the stuff that's going on.
We ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. This is the first time we get to see all the adult kids together, which is really dope. They're all at the funeral home, and one by one, people are showing up. They're all kids, like, all fighting again. I mean, they're not kids. They're adults, but they're all fighting again. Theo and Cheryl are at the casket. Theo's getting fucking blacked out, which I would do as well. I think we could all agree.
She's wasted, and she's looking at it and at Nell and says she looks dead. It's like, what? Like,
she's not. She doesn't look like she's sleeping. Yeah, they're like, she's dead.
Yeah, that's sad. It's so funny, though. The one thing that I will say, every time they show Nelly in the casket, sometimes it's literally Victoria Pedretti, and then sometimes it's just like, blatantly not, which is really funny to me. But I love this line. It's devastating. I don't know if it's Cheryl or Theo actually now that says it, but she's like, Nelly was always trying to get us together in one place, which is always like, anytime I've ever been in a funeral, it's like, wow, this person would have loved this.
Yep.
Like being with all the people they've ever loved, which is just really fucking sad.
Yeah. And that was actually Hugh who says that.
Oh, Hugh says that. Oh, fuck.
So let's jump ahead a little bit, because in the beginning of this, we do have Cheryl expressing she has zero faith in Luke. Mm. Steve rolls up. He believes Luke is actually clean. So this is the first time where I'm just where I feel that Steve isn't being an asshole to the siblings. So that was cool that he actually had some faith.
When Steve gets there, right away, people were asking him about Lee. And that's where him and Cheryl have their first bickering, you know, because like Luke said, with Steve talking about Luke, he is actually saying he believes he's clean, being nice about that. I mean, he did pick him up, and it looked like the opposite of being clean.
Yeah, so it's surprising that Steve actually thinks
that. But, I mean, he had the whole airplane ride and everything with him to see that he's actually as clean as you can be for the situation that he's in.
There's just, like, no faith, though, because when he was walking in with Steve, I think it was Theo who's like, oh, like, better hide your purses.
Yeah.
It's like...
Not wrong after watching episode 7.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're gonna write.
Well, Steve actually had the saddest, most genuine reaction, which was awesome. Like, he just broke down, and just how he reacted to seeing Nell so close. It's crazy because he was the first one to see Nell's ghost.
Yeah.
Too, back in
that's her
one.
Detective. Like, I was like, oh my God, Steve. Great. Yeah. Great that, reaction. Better than I could have imagined.
And that's like him going back to being good big brother Stevie when he was little. You know, how we loved him when he was the young Stevie. But yeah, so Luke goes up as well, and Luke just can't do it. And then Theo says something, I'm drinking every time I feel like punching something, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
And throughout the episode, somebody will say something to her, like a slight remark, and she just takes a drink real quick.
That's perfect.
And this is another thing for Steve. He's with Theo saying that, and then he looks towards the casket again, and there's Olivia, hot mama.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's saying, get your shit together, not now. Yeah, so he's seeing some stuff too, and he, you know, and he's actually says, and I think it's episode 7 when he's talking to Luke, he's like, "All right, I'm seeing stuff too, but you got to understand, it's not ghosts; it's just you're freaking out."
I want to definitely talk about that when we get there. I have a couple notes on that.
So this is when they're all together and they're kind of going through her death and trying to piece it together, correct? And saying like she hung herself, and Luke's like, "Wait, her neck?" Because he knows. I mean, he felt that in his neck. You get the information that Mrs. Dudley was there. I think they said like Mrs. Dudley found the body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Enter Daddy Crane. For the first time, you're really getting actual Daddy Crane. He's so fucking awkward. And I love when they say, oh, you want to do the eulogy tomorrow? Because he's being like, he can't speak
because it's so obvious that now it's obvious. And it was in the episode. I have it in my notes that Hot Mom is obviously like the ghost is just there, just in his ear all the time. He can't even complete sentences without listening to her cues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He just is just babbling and is making him seem even crazier. The kids, which is just reinforcing Steve's idea that mental illness is a family thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And how cool was it when he walks in and he's seeing them as children?
Yeah.
Imagine shooting that. And that's amazing.
And I forgot, like I honestly forgot as a vet that happens. Like, cause we talked about before how they don't really cross over the children and the adult actors.
Yeah.
So I was not expecting that. I totally forgot. And then it's even better when he sees baby Nell in the coffin.
Better, more like devastating.
Well, I mean, cool, like, you know.
But, and then the Bennick lady.
Yeah, well, that scene, Jimmy, was insane. When he turns around and they're all kids, first of all, you're like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And then he says, neither can I. They're all grown up.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, you're talking to the hot mom. That's so cool.
You're talking to hot mom, aren't you?
Fucking hot mom.
It is crazy because he has seen them here and there, but for the most part, He hasn't seen them all together, and he has hardly seen them in years and years and years. So it makes sense. Like, he's seeing them as children because that's what he remembers them as.
This is when Hugh says that he's going to look for the bathroom, and he's going down a hall by himself. This transitions perfectly back to Hill House. And I think it's Hot Mama he sees right away, right? And he says, oh, there you are. You weren't in bed. Where did you go?
Right. And you miss the fact that when he gets in there, it's because the chandelier fell from the ceiling and smashed. And she's running down saying, what was that?
Right, you know? Right, right. Okay. And that's why I bolded the quote, because that could be, it's just a hinting. I'm thinking it's hinting more and more at what we learned in episode 7, that she is just constantly in a state of sleepwalking, dreaming, not knowing what's going on. I don't know if we're going to get a specific answer to what she was doing in that scene or like right before that scene, but it's still, now I have the knowledge of episode 7. It's awesome to see those little seeds planted.
So I just want to say, of course, this is the first transition when we're going. You would have to think about that the literal funeral home and Hill House were built on the same fucking set. He walks into Hill House. Like, it's all connected to each other.
That is so cool, man.
It's so fucking cool. And, which I didn't realize, with this episode in mind, this is exactly why you can't just make young Hugh and old Hugh the same actor. You can't age him up.
Yeah, right.
Because with this episode in mind, you literally need them to be two different actors. Because at first I was like, why would they ever do that? Just age him up. It's so weird. And somebody, shout out Matt Kelly. He was the one who was like, they can't. If they, with this in mind, you literally have to have two different actors. And I was like, word. That makes so much more sense.
The chandelier, when it falls, that was a cool detail that they threw in the Nell episode, in episode 5, when she first walks in, the same chandelier is pushed into the corner, right where they move it.
And it's like, my boy.
Yeah, so Stevie comes down, like, and he always wants to help Daddy Hugh, so they're moving the chandelier, and then a window breaks upstairs. They're going to check the window. At this point, all the children are now downstairs. Olivia, Hot Mom, is trying to calm all the children down, and she's doing the count the lightning or thunder and lightning, you know, whatever. But it's crazy to see how she's actually scared, too, like, of the storm.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because in that conversation, she says that she sees people in Hill House, too. And in her mind, she's seeing it because of, like, her
mental
her migraines, stuff. Like, her daydreaming and stuff. And she doesn't realize that she's part of this whole bigger mystery going on.
Could you imagine if she knew that? Jesus.
Yeah,
fuck.
True. I just, no, it just frustrates me because I just wanted her to, because she has that mindset where she's saying, I'm seeing stuff too. Like, convince young Hugh to have a little bit of, like, to care about what the kids are saying. It's just frustrating for us, obviously.
I love the shot of them in the, I think it's right now, them in the middle of that floor, and it just kind of circles the kids around where, like, Hugh's like opening flashlights and toolbox, whatever he's doing. Can you imagine doing this very intense shoot where then the light, the power goes out? The shot where Nell is walking backwards and, like, getting lost is so good of that little girl. I am like, you are incredible.
That, and you already brought this up, but I just want to reiterate, it is asking a lot from the young actors to be able to do all this in these kind of takes. I would mess up a million times.
Yeah, thank God for editing on this podcast.
Yeah, right?
I mess up all the time.
So true.
But something interesting during the scene is they tell, I think Theo's holding Nell's hand, and Hot Mama says, this house will keep us safe.
Which psych!
Is, yeah, hilarious.
Really? I didn't
yeah, she says, everyone calm down, this house will keep us safe.
Theo holding little Nell's hand, and the power goes out, and when it comes back on, Theo still thinks she's holding her hand.
Yeah.
Because she is.
Yeah.
She literally is. She's standing right. I mean, you'll find out later that Nell was standing there the whole time screaming, blah, blah, blah. The next episode, when Steve unplugs the fan and it doesn't unplug. And he, like, you know what I mean? These kids are going through these really fucked up things where they're like, I did do that. No, I didn't write that on the wall. I did do this. I did do that. And the parents are just like, you fuckers. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? It's like really a mind fuck there. Can I say fuck one more time? Fuck.
Try it again.
Fuck.
And then that brings us, that was the end of the scene when they realize that Nell is gone. And then that brings us back to the funeral home, and they're talking about Puffalope. Who is it that's trying to think of the word? Is it Steve?
Steven.
They go through and they all kind of say their own thing, all the kids. And then it goes back to old Daddy Hugh. She says Puffalope. Like, out of nowhere, like, talking about Steve, a 2-minute earlier conversation.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? What did you just say? And he was like, Puffalo. That was a made up word.
Yeah, he is severely awkward. Like, he needs to be better. He does. In his defense, he isn't as bad as they think, but he could be better.
Yeah,
and he explains that Puffalo was actually something Hot Mama made up. And he tells the whole story about Nell and Santa.
It's so cute.
After watching episode 7, do you think he remembered all this, or was this
Hot Mama telling
him? Okay, and that's a conversation I want to get into, because at the end, he literally says, I see your mom. I see your mom. It's a coping mechanism. I truly think it's not a ghost.
Seven.
Yes. No, I'm saying this is a conversation I want to have later, because I don't think it's a ghost. I think it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's all in his head. So,
but then why would Nell, I guess we'll have the conversation, but why would Nell see Hot Mama in the wedding?
Okay, I think there's a difference between the kids seeing ghosts and what he's envisioning. Luke seeing dead Hot Mama in the grave is Luke seeing dead Hot Mama. And Luke seeing dead Hot Mama with the hat on is literally Hot Mama trying to coax him back to the house like he did with Nell.
Wow, that is so much to think about.
I know.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I needed to think about it through the lens of if they're gray-eyed, they're real. And if they're not, it just could be a hallucination or a mental thing. Like,
and that's the cool part of this show, because mental illness really does play a part. And as much as we know that it's not, because we get all this background and we're like omniscient or whatever the fuck that word is, because we do see that ghosts are real. Like,
the
when they're not
the word
omnipotent. What are you talking
about? No, omniscient. Omniscient. Yeah.
What the fuck is that word?
Omniscient. Omniscient. Something.
It's like something like
that. You're in the ballpark.
It's,
yeah. Cognizant.
No, it's omniscient.
Okay.
You're like an omniscient.
We just sounded like we didn't go to school.
We're still in high school.
Cut that. I'm looking this up.
I know what you're talking
SCI?
About.
SCI? There's an SCI.
O-M-N-I-S-C-I.
Omniscient means all knowing. Omniscient. And then play it on the fucking
knowing
Google.
Everything.
Yeah, play it on Google Play. Put the audio up to the mic. Up to the fucking mic. Keeping it. Put it pronunciation. Come on, James.
I got
the speaker.
Omniscient.
Oh, okay. That's jogging your
memory. Now I got it.
That's
my favorite word.
Fuck you, boys. Omniscient. She's like a weird accent. It's omniscient.
We got it.
I'm omniscient. Okay. So anyway, we'll get to that later. Yeah. But
yeah. So this whole back and forth between the family is just like their cute way of reminiscing about Nell, telling different stories.
I like it. I mean,
Santa story is cool. It just shows you how selfless Nell was from being a child, and it reflects very heavily when you take anything into account with how she treats Luke. Like, Luke is such a scumbag, but it's her twin. She cares for him more than anything. It just highlights what an awesome character Nell is.
Yeah, and I really like when Daddy says this bit that Liv used to say, which is, water that seed until it's her tree.
Right.
And I think that is so, like, when you have kids, like, that is such a good
thing to live by. That hit me too for some reason.
Yeah, that's so, it was amazing. And Steve thinks the letters that she wrote Daddy in real time as an adult... Steve is like, what the fuck? She wrote you letters recently? Something she wrote could have triggered you to think she was going to kill herself. Blah, blah. Of course, Steve's just being a fucking dick. It's like, we're all at our family member's funeral. Maybe chill. Mm. Maybe chill for a sec.
He's just calling him out for holding back more information about the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes on to say, like, Theo's drunk and I'm pissed. Like, right. He's just yelling. Real quick, is this where we learned that Mrs. Dudley called when she saw the car?
This is because Steve's getting pissed, so Daddy
finally gives him information
about the
night. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, they say Mrs. Dudley called Hugh after noticing the car out front, and she was hanging there. They're all frantically going over who talked to her last and her state of mind. And this is when Hugh finally admits, like, I talked to her last, and she brought up the bent neck lady. And Steve is freaking out about mental illness. He is like really having a moment here. And Hugh is like talking to himself a lot in this scene as well.
Yeah. So Steve reemphasizes the fact that he thinks this all stems from just mental illness, and the fact that adult Hugh wasn't sharing this information could be part of the reason that this all happened. And they keep going. They're back and forth. They're heating up.
I would assume this is the 17-minute scene, because this is really long.
It is a long one. Yeah.
It seems like this would be the one.
And all the hard acting. The really intense scenes are like right at minute like 14, 15. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too. Like when Steve's yelling and all emotional.
The book stuff is intense. Yep. Yeah. Cheryl versus Steve about the book. And Cheryl's so condescending and calling it blood money, yelling at Theo. It's chaos. And Theo's like, I fucking took the money. Oh, my God.
This scene is so charged. And one thing I did want to point out, because before the money... before that information gets dropped. Theo, I guess this was just her being drunk, but I could have chalked it up to a ghost as well. When Theo's like sitting on the couch and she just falls, I'm sure it was just her being drunk, but yeah. I thought it looked like there was a motion that she got pushed.
Maybe. Looking for I thought now. It was drunk. And then they go to help her up. She's like, don't touch me.
What she does say in this scene is she says, you don't know what I felt. And I have been wondering about that for a while, because when Theo in the end of her episode is in the morgue and touches Nell, she hasn't talked about what Mm-mm. she saw at all. And I've been so curious.
She's been literally getting hammered drunk since that moment.
Yep.
That's why she's so drunk. She's just been drinking since that moment.
Are we going to learn what she sees, or we just saw?
Maybe.
I ain't going to tell you.
But then
I'm so curious.
The craziest thing is, I'm sorry, as a vet, I should know this, but what's Shirley's husband's name again?
Kevin.
The craziest thing is when Kevin's trying to calm Cheryl down during all of it at first, when her and Theo are fighting and he's kind of just trying to get in the middle, like, all right, don't do mm-hmm. this, don't do this. And he's like, oh, we took the money too. Yeah.
We know who wears the pants in Cheryl and Kevin's relationship, God. Especially in the next episode when he comes in.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, oh, all right, fine, bye.
Yeah, so that scene ends with Cheryl just having a mind freak out on both Theo, Kevin. Now she's done with the whole family. She's just freaked out.
And then it continues. Cheryl walks up to Nell. She's got motherfucking buttons on her eyes. Imagine being a skeptic like Steve and Cheryl. And there's now buttons on Nell's eyes. And you're like, the only people in here are my four fucking siblings, or three fucking siblings, and my dad. Well, which one of you fucking put buttons on the eyes?
That's the worst part. She's like, which one of you fucking did this? Did you think this was funny? And it's insane, because that makes it so much worse, her relationship between her siblings, even though they didn't do it.
Yep.
Like, it's so infuriating.
And while this is all going on, I think even right before the buttons, I think is when Kevin and Theo go downstairs to get vodka.
Yeah, like basement. Right after.
They're like, we need more alcohol. They exit the screen until we see them.
And then this is classic horror genre where the whole family somehow gets split up just for the scares, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, just elbow lock with everyone and let's just get through this night, you know? They all split up and Hugh starts seeing the bent neck lady. And then we get a flashback right to young Hugh in that moment, right after the lights went off and Nell disappeared.
Yeah, Hot Mama's walking around. There's a ghost lady in the bed.
Clara, this is, Granny.
Yeah, Hazel. Granny. Clara Hazel. Is yeah. Dudley. Yeah, yeah. Clara Dudley.
Right.
There's a little dead boy in the wheelchair. Like, it's just following her in and out. But she's seeing this, right?
Yeah.
That was wild when the little boy just kind of rolls
out.
Yeah,
like, that's another moment, Paul. We didn't do any creep counts tonight, but the doorknob turns first. She opens it, right? And then the kid comes out on the wheelchair.
So that is a flashback to, I think, when Theo was doing that little dance routine, remember? And the doorknob just starts turning. Like going like this. Yeah. I just assume that's that ghost.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Could be. Wait, what room was that? I can't.
That's just another bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine, though? Because that's one of the kids' bedrooms. So, like,
I know.
So they're just trying to sleep.
That's a sick
sleep,
room. Yeah.
What?
The sick room.
The sick room is Hazel's room.
And that's what it was. No. That was Hazel's bed. Oh, you mean the wheelchair room?
Yeah.
Okay. I love the wheelchair kid. I love that they put him in, because that's where Hot Mama and Daddy Crane, where she was imagining, like decorating, and she's like a little boy in a wheelchair and like this and that and a bookshelf, whatever, and leather bound goods.
That blew my mind when you reminded me of that.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And I like that they think of every little detail that makes you go, ooh, just like when Paul's like, I saw a picture frame and that guy's wearing the top hat. It's just all comes. I never even noticed that, for the record, Paul. So picture frame.
I'm only watching. I'm like dissecting every little bit just because they're doing this, though. Yeah, and it makes it so much more fun. And this is where the statues move.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. And this is, and I'll let you guys talk about it, but this is where Hot Mama, you're like, she's deteriorating. He's literally chasing her around. She's there. She's not. She's there. She's not.
Yep.
And he's like, Liv. Mm-hmm. What were you guys thinking during this?
I thought it wasn't Liv. I thought he was chasing a ghost.
If he calls her Liv by a real name, she might answer. Hot Mama.
Hot Mama. Olivia, Hot Mama. No, I don't know. I just knew that she was not, if that was the actual mom, which I'm assuming it was, she's in the same state that she's in when she's holding the screwdriver to Hugh's throat in the next episode.
True, but the trippy part of this is that he's literally following her down one hallway.
Oh, you're right.
He turns the corner and she's gone, and then he turns this way and she's over there, and I'm like, I have chills thinking about it. I remember
she's
seeing
a real
this
person at this point, so I don't see how that's possible. You're right.
And she's not sleeping, because the thing about the screwdriver was that she's sleeping and she's trying to say she had a dream, but she is. I think her response to him when he finally finds her again, where she was, it was exactly where she was from the start, in front of the little kid's room with the wheelchair. She's on her knees, and I'm pretty sure she says, I just had a crazy dream or something, right?
But, yeah, the right before that, the window shatters in her face.
Oh, yeah, I just was.
No, but you're so right, and then she's over there, and how are these people not clocking that this is fucking insane? Why are they all being so skeptical?
The shattering happens, and then it didn't happen, though.
Yeah, he looks back, and the window's back.
Or whatever. It's back to normal. It's just...
So, that's why it made me think that it was a ghost Liv running around. But I mean,
it could be. Yeah. Yeah.
But then what is your explanation for where the real Liv was? Was she just passed out like Jimmy sang in the same spot?
Yeah, like Nell was when she was invisible, but she was there.
That's what I would guess at this moment.
The cool part about Hill House is that ghosts and timelines aren't defined.
Yeah.
The fact that we last episode, in episode 5, we were kind of not arguing, but discussing. Welcome home, Nell. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Welcome home. Like, we were like, when did that happen? What year? When? Now? Present? Past? Whatever. I think that's fucking incredible. And
it's fun
that they keep it loose, because it's like, who's to say?
There's not going
to
be concrete answers, but we get, I mean, maybe there fucking is. Who the hell knows?
It's definitely frustrating in the beginning, but as you're watching and things start to click, it's just so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
When everything starts making sense. But this is when Hugh finally finds Hot Mama. The kids start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the scariest shit in the world. First of all, they slowly walk down the steps, which I was like, every single one of your children is screaming and you're taking your time. And then they go down there, and it's Steve who's like, something ran through here. It had like red glowing eyes. Even I saw it.
I think it's a wolf or something.
Yeah, they said a big wolf or dog, which... we have nothing on that, right?
I mean, except the dogs barking outside.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's, I don't know if that's related.
And this is Baby Nell does pop up, but then it switches over to adults again, right?
Mm-hmm. Dude, that was so cute. She was like, so I'm here.
I mean, we'll get to when she's actually like saying her lines, because I think that's the one of the best parts of the episode. But Luke and adult Q, they're talking about the buttons, and they're kind of coming to an understanding, like, wasn't any of us, like, which is a great moment.
I have to say that I, after these last two episodes, I really enjoy adult Hugh, because he's willing to accept what they say they see. Mm-hmm. And when he's talking to Luke, they both acknowledge that the bent neck lady was more than just a Nell hallucination. Yep. I think they also acknowledge that it wasn't suicide, right? Or is
right.
that not?
So Luke says to Hugh, he says, Nell didn't do this to herself, and neither did Mom. And then Hugh says, well, that's a complicated story.
And he was like, well, none of us did the button things, but you already knew that, which I like. They're acknowledging that it's all crazy. And the next episode has something like that as well.
Well, Luke starts pressing about why it's complicated. And then Steven's a cocksucker.
Yeah. Steven starts getting heated, and he wants some answers. And is this when he starts talking to Hot Mama too a little bit in the middle of it? And then Steven does it again, being like, see, you're freaking talking to no one. And then he yells at him and says the wrong parent died, like he's freaking 12 years old.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Wait, and as soon as he does that, the lights turn on and Nell falls, right?
Yeah.
It's like so
it's so fucked up.
All just happened at once. It's like, how can this get more depressing?
Yeah.
The fighting is only stopped by her falling off the casket. And that is a moment. Imagine that in your real life. Imagine one of your family members' casket fell and there's just like a limp, bent limp Nell. But
oh,
no,
man, the buttons would have already took me out of the funeral home.
Yeah.
Now after this.
Luke is a pussy. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I like that Daddy Hugh is very ghost woke. Very ghost woke. He is like young
perfect
Hugh.
Perfect way to describe it.
I love that.
Is not, I wouldn't even say skeptical. He's just. He's naive almost.
That's the perfect way to say it.
Yes.
It's not that he's saying no, he's just kind of playing it off like, oh, they're kids.
Which we get an amazing moment in episode 7 where Luke calls him out on that quote and says, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. But I like in this scene where they say the rest of the block is fine with the lights. Mm-hmm. They're like, because we didn't mention earlier in this episode, Cheryl mentions, I changed every light bulb in the house just in case, because she's so frantic and that's her coping mechanism.
A generator. Like, why is a generator?
Exactly.
I also just realized that I forgot about that line where they say this is the only place it hit in the block, which you don't really understand fully until the next episode, when they just say in episode 7 that Hugh's trying to explain why only the storm hit the house and not the Dudley's house, even though they're 10-minute walk apart.
Yeah.
That's exactly
it. It's just fucking haunted. It's literally just fucking haunted. Yeah.
So Cheryl's looking around for, what is she looking around for? The generator, lights, whatever?
Yeah. Box.
Walks right into
Kevin and Theo in trying to get their vodka or whatever they're doing. And they kind of look like they're in a compromising position, but it's so obvious that Theo, if this is a thing where they're somehow cheating, I'm just, fuck that. There's no way. There's not even a little bit of a chance, in my opinion.
First of all, Theo, if you're going to cheat with anybody, cheat with me. All right. With Kev. Come on, Kev. I was like, okay, Thea's definitely drunk and trying to like make a move on Kev, and Kev's like, no, get out of here. That's what I thought. And Kev was trying to be like, no, like you're obviously wasted.
Nah, dude, Thea's been a lesbian since she was 8 years old. Maybe, on the next episode. She is not cheating on no.
So I'll just say, as when I was a rookie watching this first time, when I got to this episode and I got to that part, my thoughts were literally in between both of you, but my thought was literally, if she's making a move on Kevin, now I'm pissed. Because I'm just like, why you add something like this to Haunting? We don't need this right now.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys agree with that thought. Yeah, I don't know.
I just think it's unrealistic. I think it's meant to purposely look like that and also be obvious that it's not that because it's Haunting.
What do you think she was doing?
Maybe she was seeing Kevin as a ghost.
No,
was sexy as fuck. Hot mama. And then she was trying to make out.
She was trying to make out with her hot mom ghost.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
Paul, yeah.
What it probably was she, I can't recall or not if she had the gloves on in the scene, but she was probably trying to touch him and see something, or I could be jumping at. I don't understand what information Kevin has that's important, but that's probably what it was.
Love to hear that though.
Okay. Well, you will get answers.
As a girl, I just want to do this weird comparison where, let me just tell you, if I bumped into my sister Tina, we'll say, with my fucking husband, Cheryl is so crazy. That's like one spectrum of girl. I can't even. She opens the door, stares at them, shuts the door, walks away, and it's just like, I would be like, what in God's fucking name is happening here? Like, Cheryl is such a specific type of girl,
she has just
human.
No faith in any of her family
None.
Members.
Yeah. And this is when she's walking out and she turns left and sees that ghost again.
Yeah.
That ghosty ghost.
The old, like, middle-aged man, like, holding a
cheers
glass of scotch. You like, cheers.
Yeah. What was the other time we saw that?
When she was
in her episode.
She was talking about making the mask. Her son wanted a Daredevil mask. And Kevin walked in and was like, all right, like, we'll go make it. As they walked out, she looked into the living room and there was that guy on the couch.
James Lafferty, hottest hot boy of all time.
Yeah, I got nothing on that. I have no guesses.
What the fuck could that be?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
No,
you
they don't answer anything in this show.
They actually never
This
tell
is
you.
The worst payout of all time. All
right, whatever. Fuck you guys.
Dude, I can't wait for you guys to see the next three. You guys are going to be mind blown.
So if Tina walked, or if you walked in on Tina and Jason Diaz, your husband, then you would freak.
I'm so glad Jason Diaz does not listen to the Haunting of Hill House episodes. But yes, he is my husband, and I'd be pissed. I would throw punches.
All right, but yeah, as Luke was saying, so that's definitely not a thing.
So we're back to the kid.
This might be the final flashback, correct?
Final flashback, and this is where we see Nell standing there the whole time. She was screaming and shouting like, I was standing here the whole time and nobody looked, and my note is literally, oh my FG, cry. Because I was like,
God, that's freaky.
That is scarring. Yeah. You're like screaming at your family to. Her whole life is about this like sleep paralysis and nobody believing her and nobody understanding what she's going through. And their whole family is going through chaos around her and she's just trying to get their attention and nobody's even looking in her way.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
I don't even know how that's linked to what becomes the bent neck lady. I guess it's just more like a haunting, but that was wild and unexpected. I did not think she was just going to be there in the room with them the whole time.
And that makes it scarier. And I will say that this baby Luke telling Nell, don't do that again. Like, cause you better fucking stop.
Dude,
I thought the house things had got you.
Yeah. I was right here the whole time and nobody could see me.
She was also saying she was freezing cold. So maybe she was phasing into the ghost realm. She was like dying. I don't know. Like, as she was going back and forth. which kind of plays a little bit closer to the bent neck lady stuff, but I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
And that's it, right? That wraps the episode?
Yeah, it repeats the one, I was right here, none of you could see me, and then you see right in front of the coffin, bent neck lady.
Yeah.
And that's
fucked
the end.
Up. That was a great episode, and Jimmy, I totally agree where I loved that episode, and the idea of the directing makes it one of my all-time favorites.
Agreed.
Just to be able to talk about it, and they had 18-page scenes with no cuts. That's really hard, and I give them so many props for that.
Time for episode 7, titled Eulogy, and this one has some amazing Young Hugh content. We get some fucking great answers in this episode.
And you guys asked earlier, like, what are they going to do after they're done with the kids? Does Hugh get an episode? Hugh-centric, baby.
I was so happy. We got so much Young Hugh, and that's all you wanted.
So it feels like the first 5 episodes was each a kid. The 6th was the whole family. The 7th is about Hugh. 8, 9, 10, one of them's got to be hot mama centric, and I cannot wait for that one.
The transitions in this episode are incredible. Like I said earlier in the podcast, and I couldn't, like, they would show a hand and it's a hand they're saying. I like the part where she's like, you stuck your hand in a fan, and then all of a sudden he's like, fucking hell, like, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
you know why his hand was wrapped.
Yes,
I know why.
It's really not that big of a deal, but just the fact that they zoom in on the hand, it's like, okay, that's gonna come up later. I just think that's smart of them to say, yeah. Father Mucker, it comes back, you know.
It's a really nice tool to implement understanding the timeline of what
so
happened.
True. Yeah. That eloquently put. But I want to say that for this episode, we're not gonna go in episode order. We're gonna do all of the Young Daddy Crane stuff and then all the older Daddy Crane stuff, just to make it easier to run through, because they go back and forth so much in this episode. The episode opens with the cop good copping him, and this is after all the bad stuff happened in Hill House back in the day, but we're gonna save that to the end because the end scene is also in that same timeline. So we're gonna jump straight to Young Hugh with
Mr. Dudley,
black mold, water damage, pulling all the way to the basement. It's just them walking through, and you can tell he was stressed in this timeline. Like, it's the first time he's maybe sweet and dumb the rest of it, but this is time he is stressed out.
I mean, that is an unbelievable amount of damage, and the cost to fix it is going to be insane. Yeah. So I totally understand why he's freaking
out. And all this damage is a direct effect from the storm of last episode. So we're really just picking up right back in the timeline of where they left off from 2 storms.
And Luke, this is where you find out, like you said, Young Hugh's talking to Mr. Dudley, and he's like, you didn't get any of this? And he was like, no, you got a little rain, but like, that was it. He starts explaining microbursts, which I learned about.
The opening scene of this stuff is him being like, storms never make this much of damage. What the fuck?
Yep.
And what does he actually say Father Mucker about?
That's coming up.
That's when he sees.
And that's next, right?
Yeah, but while they're in the hallway of where, I thought this was the hallway that the windows all shattered, where he was chasing Hot Mama.
Sure. Yep.
And they're just kind of going over the damage, and Young Steve is in the background, and he finds water damage essentially in the wall.
This wall feels squishy.
Yeah.
This sets off a chain reaction of Mr. Dudley and Hugh just kind of evaluating what's going on with the house, what's happening, because this could be a game changer. It could actually torch the entire property eventually. So they end up going down to the basement. They find out that the water damage went down all 3 levels, and a lot of the flashbacks we're getting for this episode are going to take place in this. It's not the same basement that Theo found, right?
No, it's not like the cellar.
Okay, that's
just
what I thought.
The basement.
There were stairs. Good, that would have been
good
obvious.
Good question, I didn't even think twice about that. But
you would think
it's the same level, though.
Yeah, so when they're in the basement, they're checking for the mold. This is the first time that Mr. Dudley and Daddy Hugh hear the noise with the scratching.
The scratching is so creepy in the best way, where it's so light and really could be rats. It truly could be.
And is this the first time that we see on screen that Hugh had any interaction with something supernatural?
Probably. Because,
well, you don't know that it's supernatural yet.
Right, but I mean, figured it was.
You just assume.
Yeah.
No, well, you find out in later in the episode, but at the time when he hears the scratch.
Yeah, I'm just talking about now, analyzing it. Is that the first time?
I mean, well, all of last episode when he was chasing Liv around and the window shattered.
Oh, true. I guess he was interacting with her ghost, yeah.
This is the Father Mucker scene. because he sees it and he wants to say like, what the, and then he catches himself and he's like, Father Mucker. And young Steve in the background, you don't even see him. You just hear him go, really, Dad? And then the fact that Steve says that, yes, and then uses it when he's older, it's even though he hates his dad.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's the key.
He still picks it up. Like, he doesn't want to hate his dad. He still has picked up a few things. It's really cool.
It's sweet almost.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I love how young Hugh is always like, I can fix it. It's like, no matter how shitty it is, he's like,
hey, that's his quote, that's, man. His, he says that, I can fix it. He says that all the time, almost every episode he's been in.
The
I
end
think.
Of this episode is the best one.
Yeah. That reminds me of Holes.
I could fix that.
I could fix that.
Dule Hill, that's my boy from Psych. He's amazing.
Of course, you know. You know everything.
I could fix that.
All right. So we got Black Mole in the basement. They start tearing it down, hardcore demolition style, Mr. Dudley and Hugh.
The next scene, I really like this one because Hot Mama's talking to Hugh and saying the blueprints are a disaster. There's like four plans and none of them match. The house is schizophrenic, she says. Everything about it is crazy. Not even the blueprints are legit, which I really liked. And she's saying she's going to draw up something out of the million blueprints. This is where they talk about, could it be the red room? They're like throwing around the idea that that's the one room they haven't checked.
Because the worker's
checked.
Asking about it.
Yes.
Well, now it comes up to the expert.
Yep. Yes, 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 yes.
And he asks, have you seen any rats? And she's like, no, I haven't seen any. Young Luke, when he went down in the dumbwaiter, he did see some motherfucker rats.
We've seen some.
True.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even think of that.
There are some rats in this motherfucking house.
Hugh probably told Luke, well, they're imaginary rats. So
we'll get there. That's a tough subject for me.
Yeah. So after the worker basically diagnoses that the flooding is most likely coming from the red room, and then the whole he's not hearing the rat noise anymore. So it's kind of, that's the part where I wrote down like it was definitely supernatural what he was hearing.
It's everybody with a car problem. You got a car problem. You take it to the fucking guy and you're like, yeah, it's making a noise. And when you turn it on, it's like not making a noise.
No, not at all.
Have we had the first notable scene where he sees the shadow?
Yes, when he takes the Polaroid.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Takes the Polaroid, he sees the shadow of someone, he's looking at it like, what the hell?
Yeah, weird to see a shadow when you take a Polaroid with a flash.
Well, the Polaroid, I thought, was different than the shadow behind
the
car.
It's the same exact thing.
It's twice.
He takes a picture, sees the shadow in the Polaroid, and then when he knocks the shit down, he sees the same exact shadow.
Duh.
Yeah. Right over that boy Paul's head.
You see the little details sometimes, but miss the fucking big picture.
So Hugh is taking a look at the blueprints after he's now working on the basement with Steve, and he's noticeably shocked. You see his face, right? He's like,
yeah, Hot Mama gave it to them.
So this is a master blueprint that she drew
that she
up.
Just made, right?
Yeah.
And he's weirded out.
First
by
of
it.
All, how hot is she when she's like, I drew up the master blueprint? I'm like, you are the hottest, most beautiful, smartest girl I've ever seen in my whole life.
You have
life.
To sell me on her.
No, but I just want you all to say, yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, boy.
Boy.
I'd stay up drawing blueprints with her all night, man. That's insane.
I like that they keep going back. Fucking marital bed. I like that they keep going back to, you don't know what's wrong with the blueprints for a couple scenes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's literally looking at it. I'm like, the fuck did she? She might as well have wrote "fuck you, Hugh" on the paper, and we're not seeing it yet. Mm. We're not omniscient to it yet.
There we go.
Omniscient attendant.
So we're skipping ahead to it. Just flashes forward after he was looking at the blueprints, and now this is the big scene with Mr. Dudley in the basement.
Mm-hmm. So intense, and I want to know what you guys think about
scene.
This. Because
I loved that. I loved it. I loved
dropping
the scene.
Knowledge, baby.
I was like, hell yeah, Mr. Dudley, get that. Complete dialogue, like that was insane. I haven't heard you talk at all, and now you're speaking this horrid story to me and shaking me to my core. Hell yeah.
There is some answers that we get here that I've been craving, and there's also answers that we get here that I did not think were going to be answered.
Fuck yeah.
Specifically, what I'm talking about is that the Dudleys never go on the property at night. I did not think they were ever going to touch that. I thought that was just going to be a thing.
That was sweet.
So cool. Do we want to walk through this story just real quick?
Well, this scene just starts with Hugh in the basement looking at the blueprints, being frustrated. Mr. Dudley comes in. Hugh says to him, you know, if I could really use the key to that red room, if you could search again.
Bitch.
And Mr. Dudley kind of avoids that question like he did before when he gave him the key, the master key, quote unquote. he starts suggesting, Hugh, you, it might not be my place, but maybe you and your wife, Liv, should take a break from the house for a little bit.
Yeah, because he's reiterating, like, she wrote up these blueprints, right? This is her.
He's looking at it like, this bitch, crazy.
Yeah, he's like, so this was her? Yeah.
He knows firsthand. Yeah.
She might need a little break.
We get this whole amazing Dudley thing. He's saying, my mother worked in this house as kitchen staff. I was born here as Mr. Dudley. My family moved us out to the cottage at the edge of the property. And his mom never liked Hill House. And I really love this scene because he is telling it with like his gut, his chest. He's telling it with like everything he has. She'd come home after a long shift. She'd be scattered, talking to herself, basically lost her mind. She's giggling, talking to people outside. She's sleeping out there sometimes, too. He met Claire when she came on to work for Hazel. She spent too much time in there, like way too much overnight, sometimes days at a time. She gets pregnant. Sadly enough, she works through the pregnancy. The baby is stillborn. And he's saying that she jumped into working after that so fast. I love when he goes, she's a towering woman. I'm like, damn, I want my husband to tell me that I'm a fucking towering woman.
You're
that
like was, 4 foot six.
I know, but like, he's not saying it as that. He's like, she's a strong woman. She's a towering woman. I'm like, this guy loves this woman. I'm like, whoop. Okay. So then he goes into this bit about nightmares, having her in a corner, shaking so bad. He thought that she would seize up dead is what she said, which is fucking crazy. So then one night she's in Hill House and she hears a baby crying. And she thought she's losing her mind. She runs home through the woods in the dark, scratches her face to ribbons, he says, which is an insane way to say it, on the branches through the woods. And so he goes back with her one night and he hears it, the baby crying too. So, I mean, that you're just getting more and more confirmations that this shit be wild. And he's saying,
and haunts you based on you personally.
Exactly. And that's the fucked up part about it.
And he was saying, like, I know that it was my child's first cry. Like,
the worst part is the one that she didn't get to and doesn't even finish the sentence. Like, you know, she just means like the one she didn't get to have because she was stillborn. Yeah. That's, I have chills talking about this right now.
But the takeaway from this story that he tells her, him, besides the fact that he needs to get his wife out of the house so she can recover her mental state, is that once he stopped letting her stay there at night, the nightmare started going away. She started becoming normal again. And that's, like I said before we started this whole story, that's just an amazing answer to something that I didn't know I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And Hugh's listening to it. In the beginning, he has that douchey scene, like, you're right, it is none of your business, kind of like line. And then by the end, he's like, okay, I understand.
I'll take it under advisement.
which is how it transitions right back to him studying these blueprints to seeing if Hot Mama's crazy or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
He was comparing it to this. All we see is it's a blueprint they had in a drawer. Mm-hmm. Don't know what it was yet. It was somewhere in the office. And then this brings us right to the broken fan. Right.
Yep.
They have these fans, are trying to get rid of the mold. He's complaining to young Steve. Ah, we didn't let him do it, so he gave us an old busted fan, like, stupid asshole. He was like, unplug it. I got to fix this. Fixing you.
Yep.
Amazing.
Love.
So Steve goes to unplug it, and you kind of see him in the background unplug it, but you don't actually see him do it. I fully believe that he actually did unplug it.
Mm-hmm.
Young Hugh's just zoning out on something else.
The shadow.
The shadow on the wall.
In the black, in the wall. And just shoves his hand in the fan, cuts it up horribly, starts freaking out at Steve for a second. He's like, it was an accident. Steve's saying, I unplugged it. I promise I unplugged it. I unplugged it. He says, go upstairs. Now we know why his hand is wrapped.
There you go.
Yeah, I made that such a mystery. I didn't mean to, but I just
I thought it was because of you.
Yeah, but still, it really is awesome because it does matter based on helping you figure out timelines and shit.
This is where he's like, you know what? Like, come here, you motherfucker. He's walking up to the red door with a hammer and a chisel, and he's trying to get this shit open. And it was funny because I thought back to episode one. It was Nell and Cheryl looking at the red door trying to get in. I was like, just break it down.
Mm-hmm. I was literally just going to interrupt you and say, this is way too late for him to act this way. I'd be kicking that shit in first day. He owns this house. This is his house.
My note is literally sledgehammer it. What the fuck? So, like, just get a drill and
fire
it up.
Something.
You don't buy a house with a room you don't see. I'm telling you that right now. You do not buy a house.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not in this day. Mm-hmm.
So he
says fuck 20 times in a minute here, mm-hmm. which is so uncharacteristic for him as well.
Secret ghost alert as Hugh is freaking out.
I was going to ask this, Jimmy. No, I didn't. But I meant to say in the beginning of the episode, Jimmy, I challenge you because I was looking for ghosts so hard because this one isn't a freaky episode. I bet you there's no ghost.
No, there's two or three, actually. So
we found one.
So the Rook found one in the next scene coming up. But for this one, when he's freaking out at the door, it shows a close-up of him and him being all pissed off. And to the left, you see a door creaked open just a little bit and a white face just staring through at him.
Well, the one that's about to be in the next scene is creepy as shit.
Like, oh, yeah.
She looks scary, the ghost, but I guess we'll get to that.
It's actually two scenes. The next one we get might be scarier. Okay, so Hugh wakes up to a screwdriver at his throat. And he's like, Liv,
yeah.
Liv, open your eyes. And all of a sudden, she comes to, and she's still holding it. Like, oh, my God, like, what is going on? He finally gets it, removes it, and eventually is like, what the hell? Which what I would have said right away.
That was in the marital bed, too.
In like, the marital bed.
Disgracing the marital bed.
These next couple of scenes are going to really highlight what has been going on mentally with Hot Mama. And this is the first one. It just plays off of everything we've been seeing, that she gets into this dream state and nothing phases her. She's not aware of what's going on. She is just doing whatever the house is willing her to do, is what I'm guessing it is.
I mean, even when she came to, still out of it, she was like, what's going on? Hugh said, you had this to my throat. And she said, no, I wasn't. Like, no, I didn't.
And she always says, I was having a horrible dream. That's not the first time she said that.
Mm-hmm.
She said it, I think, once in the last episode. We didn't quote it, but she definitely mentions that all the time.
This is when Hugh is like, you need to see this. Brings him down to the blueprints. And he was like, you did this.
Yeah, she literally looks at it and goes, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you did. And this is actually really cool. I don't even know if I noticed the first time I went through this exactly what he was trying to say was crazy about it, because I guess just assumed it was crazy and kind of went on with my life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's the same shape as the Forever Home just over and over and over and over and over is just crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool. The fact that they, first of all, thought of that beforehand and made the footprint of the Forever Home a reproducible shape in that like maze is insane.
And the Forever Home is a theme that stays throughout this whole episode, because not only is it in every one of the blueprint scenes, it's also important for the end of this episode. So we're gonna get that. That's about Cheryl's Forever Home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's clearly a theme. What I thought when this blueprint conversation was going on and they start actually saying, like, maybe we do need a break from this house, that's like the first real conversation we've heard between the parents for almost the whole show, where they're not just pushing off things that are weird that are going on. And I loved it. I don't know.
About fucking time.
Yeah, right? Seriously. Like, God.
And she is shaking up, man. She looks all screwed up.
Still a 10.
So young Hugh suggests that she goes to visit Janet. So that's back then in that timeline. That's the first time we hear about Janet, meaning it's her sister, Aunt Janet. After seeing all this and after realizing how crazy she's getting, she agrees that she might need a little vacation. And she's just saying these migraines, they just crept up on me. And it's mm-hmm. she's phenomenal acting and amazing. Really creepy. Yeah.
It just snuck up on me all of a sudden. That's awesome. That line is something I remember from the series, because she keeps composed the entire series. And that's the one time she lets out a sob, like it just snuck up on me all of a sudden. The way she says it is like, ooh,
that's important too, for the cop scene at the end, when Hugh does think that she's going to Aunt Janet's. And that's where that conversation started. So there's a lot that happens in between because of the flashing, but just something I realized right now. So the next thing we get is the last scene we'll talk about in this timeline before we jump back for the cop scene at the end, where Hugh is finishing. He's like, is the brick wall the wall that was behind what they destroyed?
Yeah, so they destroyed the wall that was water damaged, and then there's brick behind it.
Okay.
And that was the black mold.
Right.
So they're spraying, got rid of this black mold.
He starts hearing the rats again.
Yeah, the scratching.
Mm-hmm.
And
he is deteriorating. He's like, they said there was no fucking rats here.
He's like, you motherfuckers are dead. Like, oh, you are
has
dead.
Has the rat poison ready to go.
So even though he's not believing that there's ghosts, he's obviously, it's getting to him. The whole house is fucking making him lose his mind. He's, at one point, I don't know that we said this, he's talking to Mr. Dudley, and he never really finishes his thought because he's like, I had this checked. Like, I had people come in, like, kind of, you don't buy a fucking house to flip and you're a professional house flipper and you don't check into the house.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they kind of make him feel dumb where it's like, is there any rooms in the house that you haven't checked?
Yeah.
And he's like, every room but one. But one? What does that mean?
Like, yeah. That's probably where it's coming from. Yeah.
Lot of rats to break all those pipes, bitch. So,
yeah, he finally gets out the first brick, and he's gets out the second, and he's going in for a third, and then jumps back and he screams, grabs a flashlight, and leans forward to look in the brick wall. This is the second ghost.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah. Which I saw, which I was hyped for.
Did you find this one, Kathleen? Were you looking for this one?
No, I didn't see
it.
Oh,
my God. This one was...
Which one?
Scary.
I was like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
When he has a beer on the couch. And he was like, look! Yeah. Like, look! I see it!
Legs crossed with the cigar.
Yeah. Like, I saw it. It was the white-haired chick right in the center top of your screen.
Yep.
And it's just so far in the background, it's such a close-up of Hugh.
She's like just turning the corner, looking at him creepily.
So creepy.
It's horrifying. He finally sees what's in the hole, and it is this decaying dead body corpse with a cane next to it that we saw.
There's a cane?
Yeah.
Who in this fucking cane, Paul?
You didn't notice that it was the cane?
No.
I mean, it was...
I've only seen this episode like six times, so...
and this goes back to... when young Hugh touched Theo on Theo's episode, when we get all that shit right at the end, we do get this body with a cane real quickly for a half a second.
Are you a vet or are you a rook, bro? I'm proud of you.
Take handwritten notes. So then right away we get, you know, the cops got called. They're taking it apart. We learn that Officer Beckley, as his name is, he was like, you just solved a cold case we had since like 48. This is William Hill. He went missing. His wife had private investigators looking for him for weeks. Open and shut the case. You just found Mr. Hill killed himself.
Bricked himself in.
Because he had the tool. Yeah, he had like the wooden trowel in his hand. And I totally believe that he did that because it seems like the house gets you to kill yourself somehow.
It gets you to do something crazy.
And the cop even said, scratching at his fingers, it seemed like he changed his mind afterwards and he couldn't get out.
Just as Nell did, right? Right when she was trying to avoid the suicide, like after she woke up and was falling off, she was like, oh my God, no, I don't want to do this. And then falls. So it's exactly the same way.
And the look on Hugh's face when he says, try to scratch his way out.
He was like, what?
Yeah.
He was horrified.
If this wasn't like a haunted thing and you found somebody that bricked himself in, you know how fucking stubborn you have to be to break yourself in to kill yourself? You're like, I'm done. I gotta really? Oh, I gotta watch it. Binge on TV, we cover Spartacus as well.
He doesn't brick himself and he gets bricked in. But anyway, whatever. So this is Luke's ghost that has been haunting him. I don't think there was any connection to the top hat in that scene, but it was clearly the
William Hill.
Awesome.
The cop walks out and he goes, I gotta know. People talk. This place doesn't say haunted. And then young Hugh just goes, yep. And the cop kind of looks at him and he goes, well, a couple of my kids think so, which I think is a perfect line because he doesn't say my kids think so. A couple of my kids have seen some stuff or whatever he says. That's good writing. It's just very attentive to detail, being like, not all of them, skeptic ass hoes.
Quick interruption here. We got one last secret ghost. And it's actually the same white-haired lady. We see Hot Mama, Hugh, the cop, the main cop. Paul, give me the name.
Beckley.
Is that it?
It's B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, Beckley.
Yeah, but I like it the way you say it. And there's another cop behind him, and the three of them are the close-up on the shot. But then there's another cop towards the doorway, and literally this white-haired ghost is on this guy's shoulder, like behind this guy's shoulder, turning the corner the same way she turned the corner in the other scene. Damn. Like, it looks like she's just right behind him.
What the fuck?
All right. I think we're going to jump back to the cop scenes at the end. So now we're going to go through the whole adult timeline. Our first scene opens up with older Hugh talking to Hot Mom's ghost. She's not in the shot yet.
Cool reveal, though. Yeah,
definitely. And it seems like every thought that goes through old Hugh's head is bounced off Hot Mama's ghost. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it a little later. Like, yeah, you're saying, I don't know if it's like a coping mechanism, like he says. It could be the mental illness, whatever, or it could literally be her ghost again. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, he's trying on different ties and throwing them down. And that's when you get the reveal. It cuts to him at the funeral home, which is also Cheryl's home. And cute little daughter, I don't know her name. It's like, how come I don't know you? Like, you're my grandpa. What the fuck? Never seen you before. And then he's like, well, I met your brother at some point. And she's like, prove it.
She goes, well, you didn't meet me or something like that.
Yeah,
My heart broke for Hugh here. It was like you were just dejected by your family for like all these years that your grandchildren don't even know you. I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah. And
we also get in this scene that Cheryl is, she just hates Kevin right now. She hates Theo so much. She's pissed at the dad. She just hates everyone except her kids.
She didn't even let her kids finish breakfast.
She hates her kids too.
She was like, go upstairs, get ready. She's like, well, I didn't go upstairs.
Yeah. She's like, I ordered calla lilies and they didn't get, she's taking on that, just like last episode when she's talking about the light bulbs, and now she's really focusing on the flower. She's doing, that's her coping mechanism. The way she grieves, she's just like really throwing herself into the logistics of the day, which is like a really, really sad way to go about grieving when you're just, we said it in the other episode, Shirley wants to fucking bomb Nelly herself. That's she's insane. Like, yeah, she's a control freak to the max. Having old Daddy Hugh with young Hot Mama is a breath of fresh air. Honestly, I see these two together at exactly the ages they're at. Like, I see old old Daddy with young Hot Mama and I'm like, this is so refreshing. I love Hot Mama at her peak, and this whole episode, whether she's a ghost or whether she's just something he's imagining, like at her best, giving him advice. This is something that I love watching. It's refreshing. It's like, do you guys think the same?
I just want more scenes of her, so I'll take everything I can get.
Yeah, but she knows best. But it's also like, if it is just in his mind, he knows better, but he still goes against what she's saying.
I question it back and forth all throughout the episode, going back and saying,
so
like,
cool,
is he getting new information from her, or is he just thinking out loud, akin to the 100 with the red sun thing? Like, is it new information or is it real? Ooh, I don't know.
Good comparison.
I definitely thought that she was actually there and he was getting these lines from her. I didn't think it was a coping mechanism.
You think that?
I mean, that's where I think I ended up.
I mean, it's totally up in the air. I don't think we know at this point.
Yeah. Yeah,
true. The shitty part about the Rooks and Vets is kind of, you can like glean from my thing, but it just means literally like it's up for interpretation. Yeah.
But what you were saying, it's 100% incredible to see old Hugh, or just Hugh in general, talk to this like being this ghost.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely no shade to young Hugh, but old Hugh is where you really like get into Q's character, and he speaking of omniscience, he really does, he knows way more than everybody else, but his downfall is that he can't fucking articulate anything.
And you get to see some of that inside this episode, which is why I thought he rose in the ranks of my favorite characters now after seeing the older side of him. His young side didn't give us much yet, but let's just start going through it, because he gets a good interaction with every single one of his children.
Yeah. This next scene with Theo, I was just going to say, is one of my favorite scenes in the whole show. Cheryl is basically says, we don't open until 10, get the hell out. So he walks over to the Theo's. He didn't know what he was going to get. Theo wakes up super hungover, looking beautiful, and he's saying, you know, I kind of got kicked out and I thought I'd come over here. And he says, can I come in? And she lets him in. They're having coffee. They're talking. And I was just, one, happy to see that.
Incredible. It feels different than anything we've seen. You get a reveal that Luke used to live there, which is interesting. He was like, I really thought that was going to be the thing that worked. Yeah. And sure, like, sure. Shit, this family has so much backstory we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. If there was going to be one person to keep Luke straight, it would be Cheryl. Mm-hmm. And no, it didn't work.
I like when she says, she's talking about how she fucked up to her dad, and she's really like getting in deep. This is Theo, and she goes, I fucked up even by Crane standards.
Fucked up big time, and she's getting kicked out. We knew that from last episode. But also, while this is going on, Hot Mama is in 100% perfect form here, because I think, is this the first time in the adult timeline where we see her next on his shoulder?
This whole episode we see her. Earlier, she goes into the bit about Shirley, how Shirley always needs Shirley space, because Shirley's fucking freaking out. And he's like, you know, Shirley, she always needed Shirley space. Yeah. And they like finish each other's sentences.
Pretty much of. Once the reveal is revealed, she's always there for us.
From the tie scene, she's behind him the whole time.
Okay, cool.
This Theo scene is just so incredible, because she is distraught. She's like, I fucked up. Admitting to Hugh, you can't understand it until you actually fuck up. And she's starting to feel some sympathy for Hugh, because she knows that he might not have handled it the best way, just like she didn't handle last night the best way, but they fucked up and now they have to deal with the repercussions. And she basically, you know, says, stay, have your cup of coffee. She says, I need to go get ready. Hugh's getting up and getting ready to leave, which breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, no, like, stay,
amazing,
enjoy your
Theo.
Coffee.
Amazing.
We're all making progress here.
That's a life ass lesson. Like, you like to condemn people, and then until you fuck up, like any normal human does, you don't understand people that have fucked up, and you can forgive people more when you've gone through something like that. It doesn't give people an excuse to fuck up, but still, I think that was really well done. Well written.
This goes right into the beginning of the
viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lee walks in. You see Lee's at the eulogy. Hot Mama can like read his mind, and she's saying something like, no, don't think that. This is the first time she's saying like, no, don't think that. Not something he's saying out loud. Like, don't think that. We were solid. Those last days don't count. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, because she's saying, you know, he's thinking that they're a bad role model.
Yes.
Well,
for marriage.
Because he sees Lee and Steve sitting down talking. Steve's doing the talking. Then out of nowhere, Lee stands up, walks away upset. And he is thinking like, damn,
they
suck in a relationship because we sucked in a relationship.
And as far as we've seen, until she starts getting a little cray, they were a great marriage.
Yeah. And this is directly after Daddy Hugh saying to Cheryl, I saw Kevin picking at the breakfast at the hotel. It's like, he goes from that to seeing Lee and Steve fight, and he's like, fuck, our kids are, and Nell's dead, and Luke's a crack addict.
Yeah.
Heroin. It's like, oh shit, we fucked up big time.
When you put it like that.
We're 0-4, folks.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I took it from this scene, it started feeling more and more that Hugh is taking direction from Hot Mama, which led me to think that it was real, that she was a ghost and not a hallucination, because I thought she was affecting the outcomes of what was going on in the present time. But now I'm going back and forth, because you got to be questioning, because I know like the coping mechanism lines in there at the end, but I thought that's there as a reason to try and dumb down the haunting at this point in the series. But I don't know. I'm going back and forth between thinking it. I just thought that Hugh is actually haunted by her permanently, and she's just there controlling his actions.
I mean, when he sits down next to Luke and he starts to say something, and then Hot Mom's like, you know, you don't have to say something, you can just sit here and be there. And he actually listens to it. And
that's like, what I
yeah,
yeah I took
exactly
note
what you
that.
Were saying.
Yeah.
Because he walks over to Luke and is like, I'm proud of you, blah blah blah. She says he doesn't want to make today about him. And that is just like a sweet Luke and Nell moment. And Nell's not even fucking there. And I love that about Luke, because he really loves her.
And then Theo walks in, goes over and says, hey, boys. And I just want to look at me and say, hey, boys.
Luke says, beer and tomato juice, not as good of a shot as a shot of smack, but it's the best hangover remedy, which is like a funny little break.
I like that they're making jokes. They haven't made a joke this entire series.
Clean. They can make jokes.
Yeah.
Theo's hookup walks in. What's her name
Trish?
Again?
I want to say Trish, but that's
is that right? Do we know? That's what's Theo's hookup?
We're gonna call her Trish.
Trish. All right. So Trish walks in, Theo. I was proud of Theo in this scene, because she instantly is so pissed, walks over, starts freaking out, and then kind of just realizes, takes a step back, and knows that she was being a bitch a little bit to Trish. Kind of accepts her as being there at the viewing. So after Theo kind of forgives Trish for being there, this is when Aunt Janet rolls through. And I thought she was nice. She seemed nice to me.
I do want to say before we jump to that, I like when Luke looks at Dad and is like, oh, you saw what happened at the wedding, right? Like, Nellie was laughing so hard when she told me about it. And then Daddy Hugh was like, yeah, we knew. I mean, Liv guessed it when Theo was around 8. These parents really were in tune with their children. If it wasn't for the haunting, they would have had a perfectly normal, gorgeous life.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. But yeah, I agree. Aunt Janet is fine. And then this is where we begin the actual eulogy.
They have one quick, really cool scene. As they're ending that scene, the camera pans away from old Hugh and Hot Mom standing together. And the way they stand, it's like a couple.
Yes.
With their arms kind of
the crook of their bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's cool.
Thought the same thing.
That old Hugh just kind of like does that, hangs out like that. Like, there actually is Hot Mom next to him all the time.
Always got that thing on him.
Yeah, that motherfucking dime piece.
Cheryl's giving Nell's eulogy and reading.
Oh, okay.
Boring.
Yeah. What was that?
which is crazy. She says she's not dead. She's just away, which I don't know. Maybe you need to read it.
Dead.
Maybe you need to read his other poems to understand it, but I did not understand from that one.
Yeah.
And while she's reading that, it flashes to Theo, who is looking over at Trish, but then, you know, Trish does a turnaround, whatever. There's tension there. And then there's even more tension when she looks back past Trish and sees Kevin. And they make eye contact for a second. She looks away right away. We're going to find out about that, I'm guessing. But I don't know. I can't.
Who made a move? Theo made a move. I was born 90 seconds before Nell.
After Nell.
Before Nell.
Before.
No, he's older. He's older. Anyway, do that whole bit again.
The bet over here. Yeah.
Do the bit again.
No, he's good.
Yeah, we just did the bit.
What's the cop's name?
Beckley.
I was born 90 seconds before Nell. And I'd use that too. You know, if we had a fight or if I wanted something, I'd say I was the oldest, so she had to do what I said. And she let me get away with it. I mean, even though she knew it was bullshit. The last time I saw her, she was driving me to rehab. So she dropped me off. And she looked at me and she said, "You go in there and you bring my brother back. Bring my brother back."
Atta girl.
I was born 90 seconds before Nell. But she was always my big sister.
Okay, so Luke has this amazing, amazing eulogy. The music keeps hitting you. Every clip I've clipped in so far and editing has the same exact music, which I feel like that's what drives me to do it. It's this really sad, kind of like piano, super slow music that hits you in your feels. But
I mean, it's a fucking heartbreaker when he's telling the story of how Nell dropped him off at rehab. The last thing she said to him is, "Bring my brother back."
Whew.
It's like, oh,
that made me think of the whole twin thing, right? So he was having that meltdown. I think it was 2 episodes ago now, or maybe it was 2 or 3, when he has been feeling cold and stiff because he's feeling what Nell's feeling.
Yeah.
Is that gone? Is he recovered from
that?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it'll last forever if your twin just dies. I think it'll eventually fade. It's okay. Gotta be.
I didn't know if we were going the path where he's just going to go more mentally and mentally insane because he's half dead already. But if you're saying that, then that's fine. He just doesn't seem like he has the residual effects. And even the family comments on it, like saying that he looks better now, or some of them do at least.
Dude, that freaking eulogy.
It's sad.
Yeah.
She was always the older sister. That was cute.
Yeah, I may have been born 90 seconds before, but she was always my older sister.
Didn't make me tear up. Shut up, Kathleen.
So then Hot Mama says, "Atta girl," right?
Best.
Yeah.
Best ever.
Great line.
And so this is like, we'll run through this pretty quick. Cheryl's being a bitch, as per usual.
I was going to say that.
And she's bopping around. She sees Kevin in one limo, and her kid's like, "Please come with us." She's like, nope. And then goes to the other one. And then she goes in and she sees Charles and, or she sees Theo. And Steve's like, really? Today? Not everything's about you, Steve.
Not everything's about you, Cheryl. Just get in the fucking limo.
Sometimes you grow up 30 years and you're still a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Me and Jimmy do that all the time.
Props to Cheryl's actress for just being a great bitch.
a bitch she is.
And then, of course, Daddy Hughes in the parking lot is like, need a ride? So
did he just get an accent right?
Matthew
McConaughey. It'd be cooler if he did.
Yeah. All right. He starts trying to talk to Cheryl, and Hot Mom is in the back seat. And she's like, don't even go there. Don't bring it up.
I loved this directing because it's very much so the camera is on exactly him, exactly her. And then she's obviously just sitting in the middle that entire time.
Yep.
But the way they shoot it through the rearview mirror is incredible. Mm-hmm. I really like that scene.
And then we get Nell's actual burial when the family is tossing dirt and earth onto her casket. We get Aunt Janet being a little too emotional for Hugh because she was saying, like, my girl. Why do they all have accents when I talk?
My girl.
And Hugh's getting all like annoyed. And Hot Mama in the back of his head is like, you know, well, she did technically raise her, cut her some slack. And he's like, yeah, whatever.
Hot Mama looking like a hot mama in that blue dress in this grave site. I am like, those tits. Anyway.
Yo.
Hey, I'll believe that. Copernicus.
And then Luke goes to throw some earth on the casket. And he's sitting there, he's taking a moment, and he says, like, you know, I'm so sorry. And then he looks up, and he fucking sees bent neck Nell.
Creep count.
Yeah, it definitely was. But what was even another creep count was he looks down, and zombie mamba was grabbing his arm and pulling him down into the hole and saying, like, come home. And Steve runs over to help him out and is like, dude, fucking get it together. And Luke's like, yo, I just got pulled into my sister's burial hole. Like, relax.
By our mom.
Yeah.
If it is, like, I think this show really does an amazing job at kind of hinting at mental illness. I mean, if you're Steve and you're really that big of a skeptic and Luke, your addict brother for years and years, is like falling into the hole, you would rush over and be like, dude, fucking stop.
Yeah.
Like stop now. Like, as much as we hate Steve because we know better, he doesn't know better. So it's kind of, it's really tough to put yourself in Steve's shoes, but you kind of have to.
My note, it's so funny you say it like that, because my note started with, I was typing as that conversation was going on. I was saying, like, fuck you, Steve, you piece of shit, trying to blame everything on mental illness. And then as I was going, I was like, but I also kind of like it.
Yeah, because
it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. It's consistent with his character. And it also is how him being someone that has almost, to our knowledge, the least exposure to hauntings so far, mm-hmm. I would say. Are we in agreement there?
Yeah.
He would react like this. But go ahead.
He has a comment, and I have a sneeze coming. He has a comment where he says, like, it runs in our family. Dad saw it. Nell saw it. Like, you see it. Even I saw Nell once.
Right.
He said, I've been seeing things this week.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're real.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to get into. And he's like, this is what I do for a job.
Mm.
When you're grieving, you see stuff. Okay. But you need to get your shit together. We don't want you to end up like Mom and Nell. It's in our genes. It's a sickness.
I don't want to bury you too. Mm-hmm. Which is, holy fuck,
ooh,
man.
Like, don't put that on me, bro.
Yeah, like,
please. Right.
And then you could see.
I'll get buried if I want to get buried. Okay.
And you could see older Hugh watching and kind of listening from
afar.
Yeah.
Back at the funeral home
and Hugh is talking to Luke and saying, like, I see Hot Mama every day. It's exact phrase, exact sentence. I see Hot Mama every day. It's a coping mechanism. It doesn't mean it's always the case, which is the littest line ever. Mm-hmm. Talk about ghost woke. Mm-hmm. A ghost woke. That is lit. And then Luke hits him with the line.
Yeah, his response, big boys know the difference between real and imaginary.
Which is exactly what he said to him.
Yeah. Right, Dad?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
That line did so much for Hugh's character.
Mm.
He's good after this. Give him a pass.
Well, no, Luke said that to him. I mean, that, you mean the line of, doesn't mean it's always the case?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, Luke's line was savage. And and but Hugh knows better than from when he's a completely different person than when he said that originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke's looking like a badass with a cig behind his ear and then walks out. Hugh looks down, sees the person, he's staring at it for a while, doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
And then he goes over to Steve, and then they kind of have a talk.
He's also, is he just popping meds?
Yeah, he took some pills, medication.
Is that relevant?
We don't know what it is.
Oh, is that Hot Mama?
He tells, I don't know if you said this or not, Kathleen, I can't remember, but he does tell Luke that he's seeing a therapist, so he's probably taking some kind of...
Okay.
Anxiety, depression, something meds.
Sure.
Everyone is looking around. Shirley can't find her purse. Theo comes in and is like, did you tow my car? And everyone is mad. And this is exactly the scene where Daddy Hugh and Hot Mama's behind him going, your silence isn't helping anybody. And he can't get the words out. And that is literally his entire arc as an adult, as we've seen him. He can't say the right things. He doesn't know what to say. Nothing's the right thing. He's never going to be able to say the right thing.
To go back just a little bit, when...
Fly safe.
When Daddy Hugh, that's exactly what I was going to say, too. Was talking to Steve, Hot Mama was telling him what to say. Basically apologizing for everything that he did. He wish he could have tried harder, would have been there, made a better effort. And he can't say it to Steve. Steve's like, what? What were you going to say? He says... Safe.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's Hot Mama is giving the speech as there's silence. So she's saying, you know, I'm sorry I didn't talk or listen to you. I wasn't there for you. It's the regret of my life.
And I don't understand why he can say all this other stuff to the other kids, but can't say it to Steve. Well, Steve's like his biggest like failure, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Why can't people speak their mind? I wear my heart on my sleeve. Why can't everyone do that?
I agree.
All right. And at this point, after they have their moment is when Theo
I like that
Theo sees some dirt tracks leading into the casket area, and just her and Hugh start following him, seeing what they are. And we don't know if Hugh sees them at this point, but we know Theo's definitely following something.
This is after they find out that her car is gone.
Basically what happens is Kathleen was saying that Hot Mom is telling him to speak up. So he speaks up and says, I saw Luke at your purse and he might have taken something. So then Cheryl storms off freaking out. Oh, my credit card, my wallet, my everything, this and that. And that's why the room is empty for just Hugh and Theo.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they see the splashes. They follow Luke, as you were saying.
And then they're going to Cheryl's office room in the funeral home. And as they get closer and closer, there's more tracks that they're following. And what they see is the forever home that Cheryl was building is just smashed and destroyed right next to the desk. And they're kind of, I think, is it Theo or Hugh that goes right for the smashed home and starts putting it back together for a second before the zombie appears?
I think it was
Theo.
It's
Theo.
It's Theo. And the dad's in the doorway saying, like, I can fix it. Like, it's okay. I can fix it.
And Theo's the one definitely messing with the home because she's the one closer and she kind of turns the corner because they can hear something.
And they see the shadow moving. And then is it supposed to be Nell?
It's supposed Liv. To be a Hot Mama.
It's Liv.
Was it?
I didn't think it was either, honestly.
It didn't look like her.
It was Liv with the head gash that she saw in the Theo episode.
That Theo saw.
That Theo, yes. Theo saw when she was explaining the whole...
The first time... When they touched, and she's seeing something crazy. She saw Hot Mama all zombified, and she screamed. And then that's when
after that is when Hot Mama gave her the gloves.
Yeah,
I need to shout out old Hugh and Theo for this acting, just so shaken. I'm when Shirley's like, "What the fuck happened?" And old Hugh is like, and he's like, I can fix that. And you're like, that is the culmination of this entire episode of him saying, I can fix that so many times, of him being like, his will to live.
So is there any evidence in that scene that Hugh saw it too, or only Theo?
Oh, 100%. They both are so scared.
He grabbed Theo
to pull her out.
Started like comforting her and pulling her back.
Yeah.
His face was definitely scared. Like he was looking at it too.
Oh, he's so scared when he's giving those lines. She's like, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop.
Yeah.
And Shirley's like, who the fuck did that? Yeah.
Theo's a grown ass woman and she's like horrified like a little kid.
That's the first time we've seen anyone in the Crane family get haunted together, right? I guess the funeral, the Two Storms episode a little bit, but they were never really in this reacting to the same haunting experience.
I was thinking the same thing. This is the first duo haunt.
The next three are going to fuck you guys. Not fuck you guys up, just fuck you.
That's
guys.
Hot. That's hot.
It's really
all right.
Hot.
Well, hold on. Before we close out, we got to go through the cop scenes real quick and then we can, we can close this. So that's the end of the adult timeline. Cannot wait to see more about that because, like I'm saying, I love the fact that two cranes can be haunted at the same time because now we're going to start seeing some shit. So we'll leave that for now. We're going to jump to the opening of this episode, which has young Hugh right in the aftermath of the last time we saw young Hugh, I think, right after the motel scene. Yep. He drives directly to the cops. They go to Aunt Janet's or get picked up by Aunt Janet's at 2 o'clock, which is the double tap on the stopwatch that Nell does before she goes into Hill House. And Kathleen, I think you said it best. The cop, Buckley, is playing good cop in this scenario. Yeah. He's telling him, you know, you're not really under arrest. You can walk out whenever you want. But if you don't, if you walk out before telling me the things I need to hear, you're going to be very suspicious.
He's basically saying, you know how this sounds, right? Like, you know what you're saying sounds crazy.
And he's Beckley. He's playing him too. He took forever to get the coffee. He purposely didn't bring him creamer and sugar. And he was like, oh, let me go back and get that. Like, he's playing him, trying to get young Hugh to confess or just give something or just crack. Just give him time to sit and basically
stew in it.
That's what I was going to say, stir.
Yeah.
But stew it. That's a perfect way to say it.
But another thing we get out of this opening part is the cop does say that they are the cop says the other cops are talking to the Dudleys right now. So spoiler, the Dudleys are not going to die in any way. I guess we're not going to see anything like that.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And
well, we know Mrs. Dudley found Nell. So,
and
it does say, another quote that the cop says before walking out, it says, of course, we haven't even talked about the other body.
Yeah. And Hugh's like, that had nothing to do.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I've
no fucking idea.
It's so lit. Let me just tell you. My note is other body exclamation question. I forget.
I was trying to think if I forgot a detail.
Unless this is like referring to
Abigail's body, I don't know.
William Abigail, who William Hill, like that body, and he's like, we haven't talked about how we already found a dead body in your basement one time.
Yeah, but I don't think he's referring to that they ID'd the 1948
100% true. Case. And he says like the other body at the house, which
Hugh, did you kill that guy in 1948? Did you fucking kill that guy too?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm fucking hyped for that.
We step away. If that's it, we're good. We can step away to the last scene. So we're back in the cop station after all these revelations, after Hot Mama's ghost was chasing Theo and Hugh in the funeral home, and all that. This is the last scene.
The transition from this was old Hugh looking at the broken forever home saying, I can fix this. I can fix this. And this goes right into Beckley saying, like, you can't fix this.
You've been
the transitions are incredible. Yeah,
and the cop tells him that he was refusing to talk about the last 3 hours of the night before he called the cops, in between when Hot Mama committed suicide, quote unquote, and when the cops got there. He's omitting the information of what happened in those 3 hours. And that's the whole point of this. Of the cop just saying, if you don't tell me what happens, like, this looks like you did it.
Yeah,
that's the key. The 3 hours is the key.
He's refusing. Hugh is refusing to accept the fact that she killed herself, though, which the cop is like, that makes no sense.
Right.
He's like, you're saying you didn't touch him. Every time I say she killed herself, you get mad. What am I supposed to believe?
He's not refusing the fact. He's just refusing to say it.
He said, you're either in denial that your wife killed herself or you're in denial about something else.
Right.
He's like, at one point you said the house killed her. And he's like, I'm really tired.
Yeah. It was like, I was delusional. I didn't sleep.
And
he's grieving.
We also find out
the only information that the cop knows right now is that Hugh thought Hot Mama was out of town at Aunt Janet's, which we talked about a little bit earlier.
Right.
And the second he saw her and was alerted that Hot Mama was walking around in the kitchen by, I think they say Cheryl, he ran and sprinted right up to the red door. And my God, that motherfucker was cracked open.
Yeah!
Holy shit.
He's like, the door, it's been closed since we bought it. And then you see it open and you're like, that boy's a liar.
Yes, he walks right through.
Why you always lying?
Scene. God damn.
Biggest cliffhanger so far, 100%. Because I've been dying to know what's in that fucking red room.
Well, you'll find out.
You'll find out. Great episodes, though, right?
Definitely great episodes. I'm still sticking with it blew my mind, the Nell reveal. I thought that was
insane.
We're
a little biased because Bedneck Lady is obviously the best villain of the episode, yeah, of the series, and the scariest part. It's a little biasing because I agree with you, Luke, where it's the most intense one.
I also love Nell.
Yeah, I know you do.
Do you want a 10-second Ben Kill Mary?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, we got Bentneck Lady, Cracked Head Mama, and Zombie Hazel.
Okay, nobody gets to explain at all. You just say your three and that's that.
Okay, okay? Fine. I'm going first. Cracked Head Mama, I'm banging. No, I'm marrying. I'm putting her in the marital bed. And then I'm going to bang Bentneck Lady and I'm killing the old
Zombie
Hazel.
Zombie, yeah. Clara.
I'm going to marry Bentneck Lady and get over my fear because I love her. Ooh. I'm going to bang Hot Mama. Hot Mama's ghost. And we're killing Clara.
I'm the same as Hazel. Same as Luke.
Yeah. If any of you guys married or banged Hazel, we would have problems. yeah, I'm going to... We've been talking about these two the whole series. I'm gonna bang Bentneck Lady, marry Hot Mama.
You
split two and two, right? Did you marry Hot Mama?
I married Hot Mama.
Hey, I'm you and you.
Me and you married
Foster
Nell.
Are the same, right?
No, I me married Hot. I married Nell.
Me too.
Okay, so we're the same. They're the same.
Okay. Nice. Well, there you have it. Love a good bang, kill, marry. We are gearing up for October 9th when Netflix drops Haunting of Bly Manor, and we can't wait. We'll be covering that as well. For now, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcasts app. Tune into the next episode for 8 and 9 or 8 and then 9. We have no idea what we want. We'll let it breathe if we need it. Have the best day and have a good week and have a good month. Rest of 2020.
Kathleen,
I'm drunk. Have a good one.
See you next.
Bingetown TV. No, it's funny. I like it. Nobody listens that long.
Bye.
Bye. We love you.